Hey everyone, and welcome to 2022, and welcome back to The White Flag, a podcast about surrendering to Jesus in our hurried, manic, control-obsessed world. I am your host, Jonathan Moynihan, coming to you in the new year from right outside of Baltimore once again, and great to have you here. Today's episode is going to be for the overlooked people group when it comes to spiritual formation. I want to talk to a group of people that often get left in the dust when it comes to discipleship and living on mission and evangelism and all the things that Christian content creators and Christian leaders often talk about. And the reason I've been challenged to talk to these people is because I have a front row seat to one of them. I have a front row seat to one of the most overlooked people groups in the spiritual growth content sphere, and that is people who are parents of young children, and specifically mothers of young children, who are in a season where they're likely not working or working part-time or working full-time, but navigating childcare and juggling act that comes with it and all the duties that come along with being a mother and a wife and a professional. I mean, it's a lot. And I have grown more and more tender to this people group because I am one, but also I live with one. I'm married to one, I'm in love with one, and my wife is this person. She's a rock star, she's my biggest supporter. She listens to the episodes of the podcast. I mean, I catch her doing things that we talk about, it's so encouraging. But at the end of the day, we parent the same children, we live in the same house, we serve in the same church, and we live two very different spiritual realities because of the demands on our lives. And especially when it comes to my wife, she's taking care of a 5-month-old and a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And we just have to be honest about the fact there are unique tensions and demands and stressors on parents of young children and mothers of young children that get in the way of them experiencing the fullness of what God is actively doing in their life. One of the most startling realizations for me, even in the last 6 months, as I've launched this podcast and walked through things with my wife and just kind of gotten more familiar with the struggles of a mother with young children, especially 3 young kids, one of the biggest realizations is just that when people even talk about moms of young kids, they'll often talk about how important things like self-care are, you know, and it's like, all right, mama, you got to take care of yourself. And when people talk about self-care for mothers, they tend to not talk about, you know, like these luxurious spa days or lotions or candles. I mean, self-care is really, really important. But I noticed that when a lot of people talk about self-care for mothers of young children, they're not talking about luxurious things. They're talking about daily hygiene practices that moms just don't get to do. And so self-care for moms is kind of like taking a shower and, you know, washing your face and maybe doing your hair up or putting on clothes that are not from the day before. I don't know. But the bar seems to be so low for helping mothers of young kids. And I've just been challenged by that, convicted of that. And I want to help parents and specifically moms of young kids navigate spiritual growth in a season where they've got gremlins crawling over them all the time. So real quick, can we just give it up for the moms real quick? Let's just give it up. If you're a mom or you have a mom, which is all of us, let's just celebrate moms real quick. Yes, clapping, whatever, snapping, whatever you want to do. Okay, this episode is for you. And while I'm not a mother of young children, I am a parent of young children, and I live with a mother of young children, and we've had lots of discussions about this. In today's episode, I want to offer some direction, and I want to distribute some hope for those of you raising young kids, and really any kids. But the truth is, if you've got young kids, you're in a season where you probably long for the restorative practices of the soul that we talk about. But when it comes to actually doing them, I know that there are times, the times when you can do them are few and far between. So to help mothers and parents in general of young children, I want to offer you 3 things today. I want to help you elevate the season that you're in. I want to help you embrace the spiritual formation that's probably happening under your nose. And I want to encourage you to extend yourself some grace. So we'll talk about that. I want to help you elevate, embrace, and extend yourself some grace. So number one, elevate. I want to elevate this season that you're in. Because being a faithful follower of Jesus in this stage of life means elevating the status and significance of what you do every day and what you do in partnership with the standard that we see set forth in Scripture. Here's what I mean. As we all know, women weren't exactly treated with honor and respect that they deserve throughout human history. But when Jesus arrives on the scene, he flips the script when it comes to women and their status and their significance in this thing he calls the kingdom of God. And we see in the Old Testament, but really magnified in the New Testament, that women are elevated and treated as equals among the disciples. Women serve as leaders in the local church. Jesus fights for women when he even goes up against the patriarchal practices of divorce at the time that forced women to either go into slavery or prostitution if someone left them. And really, most significantly, though, the very first people that he appears to upon his resurrection are the people who he chooses to give this great message of hope and resurrection. The first people he appears to, that he entrusts the greatest mission on earth to, are women. So the Bible in general, and specifically in the New Testament, is incredibly pro-woman. It's a pro-woman document that radically shifts the structure of the family and of the society for better, because it's better in line with God's heart, and it's great. But not only are women elevated, but mothers are. Rich Velotis is a great pastor out of Queens, New York, and he recently wrote, pertaining to the Christmas story, that women, Eve, came from Adam in Genesis, but that the second Adam, referring to Jesus, comes out of the woman, Mary, in the Gospels. We see this inversion of, you know, women coming from men in Genesis, but then the ultimate man, the Son of God, the Son of Man, even as it says in some of the Gospels, you know, he comes from a woman. So there's this obvious elevation of motherhood. And then, of course, we've just come from the Advent season where we studied this Christmas story and many of the early chapters of the Gospels. There's this real big emphasis placed on Mary. And it's specifically on Mary, the mother, not even Joseph so much, but on Mary, even in an actually patriarchal society. And I guess what I'd want to encourage you with, as I talk about elevating the season that you're in, I want to encourage you with all the unmentioned decades of Mary's faithfulness as a mother to Jesus. As he grew from a newborn to a toddler to a young boy to the teenage years and beyond, I mean, much of what Mary had to do as a mother for Jesus isn't really explored in the New Testament. But I just think, and this is my opinion, I just think those moments, those first two decades with her son, were probably the memories that Mary savored the most amidst all the amazing things that Jesus did. And I just wonder if she was here with us navigating the tension that you and I feel of wanting to grow spiritually but being parents of young children. I wonder if she was here with us, if she would push back against the ways you and I kind of fantasize about expediting the growth of our children into the next stage, because the present one is so hard, and we kind of think, if I can get to the next one, it'll be a little bit easier. I just wonder if she'd push back on that thinking and call us to elevate the mundane moments of motherhood and parenthood and see that the season you are in, especially if you're a stay-at-home parent, of constantly wiping things like noses and butts and countertops and dishes, that this season isn't something to plow through, it's something to savor, because it is a season of preparation. I just think that while you're literally stuck with your kids all day and the chaos that ensues, if the posture of your prayer life, however short it has to be because of the demands on your life, I wonder if that posture of prayer could just be one where you invite God to help you see the preparing work that he is doing in this stage of motherhood, something that I think the scriptures elevate and draw attention to in really unique ways. I mean, I think about just as you navigate as a parent, raising your kids and doing all the small things, I just think about Mary teaching Jesus to do small things, like tying knots or fetching for water or learning how to greet someone and say, nice to meet you, or welcome to our home. I mean, none of these things were essential for his long-term ministry that led to the cross, but they were key elements of what formed him into who he needed to be as fully man, fully God. And I know I've said this phrase before, but there's a majesty in the mundanity of everything you do, as a parent especially. And if we just give ourselves space to see that motherhood and parenthood are some of the most noble duties a human can experience, how might just elevating this position you hold help you be more grateful, maybe be more worshipful in the midst of what culture kind of puts out as a lowly position? I mean, our society doesn't really prop up stay-at-home parents. You know, you're supposed to work full-time and be a working woman and be hot and have your house be all great and raise the best kids at soccer and music and math. But I don't see those standards in scripture anywhere. I see the number one goal of being raise your kids, raise them to know Jesus, love them with your heart, soul, mind, strength, and raise them to love God with their heart, soul, mind, strength. I mean, being a mom is hard enough. And so I'm ranting here, but I just want to encourage you, as you grow spiritually this next year, I want to encourage you to elevate this season of life that you're in, not as something to plow through or pray that you get through hoping that the next stage is easier, but it's a season to savor of preparation for both you and your kids, because I really think that's what Mary would say to us as a woman who walked with Jesus for 20 years, or really 30 years before unleashing him into his ministry. And I think the things that she would write to us about if she could, this is my opinion, is about those little things that everyone else didn't get to see, but she, you know, stored up in her heart. So that's elevate. The second encouragement for you is I want to encourage you to embrace the spiritual formation that's happening in this moment, especially as a parent. One question I get from time to time is, how do I pursue practices of surrender when I've got younger kids? And they don't really ask me that. They're kind of asking like, hey, for me as a mother of young children, how do I do it? And I know that at times much of what I talk about, like withdrawal and silence and solitude and Sabbath, they can kind of feel like practices of privilege for people who don't have kids or who have time or who have margin or have a job that makes it flexible for them to do stuff like this. And while much of what I discuss is specifically to help people who are living a hurried, success-driven, professionally obsessed culture, you know, I don't want to gloss over the fact that I know there are many people who aren't in environments like that, who don't have that margin who aren't working in a context like that. But what is interesting is that some of the most spiritually mature and most fast-growing people I know are people who do have to work crazy hours or people who do have a ton of kids, because they've learned how to reshift their mindset and embrace the formation that's happening in the ways they might overlook. For example, I think of my friend Lucas. He is a friend from church. He's a surgeon at Johns Hopkins in their ER, you know, emergency medicine area. And his job is like the most stressful thing I can imagine. I mean, Hollywood writers write movies and TV shows about people who have that job. I mean, his hours are crazy. It's literally life or death. It's intense. His wife also has a fast-paced career. But when I talk to Lucas, he constantly brings up with me how he finds these little pockets of spiritual formation in areas that I'd probably gloss over because it's not in that specific, quiet, wonderful morning softness of the day. You know, it's, he has to find it and make it in other parts of his chaotic life. And I think, in principle, the same attitude is necessary for parents and mothers of young kids to realize and to embrace that there is spiritual formation happening in the household for you that can absolutely be celebrated and acknowledged and leaned into. And so I just want to bring that to the surface for you. Ronald Rollheiser is a Christian writer and priest who wrote one of my favorite books on prayer. It's called Prayer by Ronald Rollheiser. Brilliant, I know. But in it, he dives into this idea called the domestic monastery. And I just want to read you this section from his book. He says, "There is a tradition strong among spiritual writers that we will not advance within the spiritual life unless we pray at least 1 hour a day privately. I was stressing this one day in a talk when a lady asked how this might apply to her, given that she was home with young children who demanded her total attention. Some of you were like, amen, I relate to her. She said, 'Where would I ever find an uninterrupted hour each day?' she moaned. 'I would, I'm afraid, be praying with children screaming and tugging at my pant legs the entire time.'" Now, Ronald Rollheiser says, "A few years ago, I might have been tempted to point out to her that if her life was that hectic, then she, of all people, needed daily time away from her children for private prayer, among other things. As it is now, though, I gave her different advice." And then here's what he says. And I think he's saying this to you if you're a mother of young children, especially. If you are home alone with small children whose needs give you little uninterrupted time, then you don't need an hour of private prayer daily. Raising small children, if it is done with love and generosity, will do for you exactly what private prayer does. He goes on, certain vocations, such as raising children, offer a perfect setting for living a contemplative life. They provide a desert for reflection, a real monastery. The mother who stays home with small children experiences a very real withdrawal from the world. Her existence is certainly monastic. Her tasks and preoccupations remove her from the centers of social life and from the centers of important power. She feels removed. Moreover, her constant contact with young children gives her a privileged opportunity to learn empathy and unselfishness. Perhaps more so than even the monk or the minister of the gospel, she is forced, almost against her will, to mature. For years, while she was raising small children, her time is not her own. Her own needs have to be put in a second place, and every time she turns around, some hand is reaching out demanding something. Years of this will mature most anyone. Man, I think that is so profound and so good and so practical to the tensions many people navigate in our modern world who are parents. And this portion of the book, immediately when I read it, made me think of my wife and all the other mothers out there who at times beat themselves up for not journaling the way they want to, or not reading the Bible as consistently, or not sitting and praying in silence like we talk about on the podcast. They project this version of their spiritual self that they want to pursue, but then they live in a reality that constantly prohibits them from stepping into it. But as Rollheiser puts out, the truth is, mothers of young children, more than anyone else in society, are people who are living a domestic, monastic life. They are people who are loving their neighbor by loving their child first. And when parenting is done with prayer and it's in line with Scripture and submitted in humility to Jesus with grace and generosity and faithfulness and just doing your best in line with Scripture, I think if you are a mother of a young child, and you aren't doing the spiritual disciplines you want, but you're caring for your kid in genuine love, and you're being as patient as you can, and you're being slow to anger as best you can, and you've invited God into your home, listen, you are loving your neighbor by loving the image bearers of God that you yourself birthed, while those image bearers are living at their most viscerally rebellious and instinctively corrupt versions of themselves. You are face to face with the worst of humanity at its most innocent level, but you are dying to yourself every day, every hour, and you're stuck in a monastery of stimulation and question asking and diaper changing and laundry doing and breaking up fights. But all of that, as you invite God in and just reflect, even for 30 seconds in prayer before you get out of bed, if you step into these things, you are being formed into the image of Christ because you are dying to yourself and seeking to produce the fruit of the Spirit as you navigate parenthood. Listen, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, these are all things growing in you as you are in one of the most hostile psychological and emotional crucibles. And, you know, like Ronald Rollheiser says, you are in unique company if you do this. And so I just want to celebrate that. I know others won't. You know, others don't see what you go through every day and see the oatmeal in your clothes and the spit up on your pants and the sweatpants you've worn three times in a row. I know the world won't celebrate that, but I think Jesus does. Because he sees the formation that's happening. He sees the way you die to yourself. And instead of just retreating to social media or retreating to drinking wine at 10 a.m., not that that's inherently terrible, just don't make it a daily habit. But I think he sees you. And mothers of young children, you are in a domestic monastery of spiritual formation in which only a few are qualified to endure and speak of. And so I salute you. I commend you. I honor you. I just want to encourage you to see how God is at work. And those moments when maybe you think this isn't spiritual, I think wiser men than I would say, no, this is deeply spiritual what you're doing, because you're inviting the Spirit in as you seek to honor Him in raising your kids. I just want you to take pride in what you endure, how you're growing, and why, again, the season you're in is not one to plow through, it's a season to savor, where God is preparing you and shaping you, and where the seeds that are planted in your growth now are going to produce dividends later on because of your faithfulness now. And I'll just encourage you, there are practices you can adopt, but just be realistic with yourself and don't smother who you could become by putting undue burdens on yourself as you navigate all the other burdens of parenthood. So I want to help you elevate the season that you're in. And then the second thing was to help you embrace the spiritual formation that's happening all around you. I think it is deeply formative what you do. And I just want to encourage you to take pride in it, because I think Jesus does. All right, lastly, I want to help you elevate, I want to help you embrace, and now I want to help you extend the grace to yourself that God already gives you. I, as a man, and married to my wife, Stephanie, I have a front row seat to mom guilt. I hear my wife beat herself up for stuff she didn't do or she thought she should do. I see the comparison game that happens on social media with moms who do this or design their house or cook this. And I just want to highlight, if you are a follower of Jesus, there's really no place for mom guilt to have any traction in your life. Because God's grace for you isn't just for your sins, it's also for your shortcomings as a parent. And I'm not even saying that having the house be a mess is a shortcoming, but I know oftentimes you talk to yourself like it is. I know I do. And we just have to remember that God's grace isn't just for our moral failures, it's for our imperfections and for our failures that happen that maybe are amoral, but they're just out of touch with who we want to become. And so I just want to point out that if God doesn't judge you and condemn you for what you did in college, or how you hurt that person last year, or the lies that you've told, or the sins that you've tried to cover up, if He doesn't judge you for those things, He certainly isn't going to judge you for leaving dishes in the sink an extra day. He isn't going to condemn you for snapping at your child when you could have been more patient, and He's not going to think less of you because the laundry pile is the size of a small horse. So, friend who's listening, parent, mom, dad, extend yourself the grace God has already given you. And yes, there are always going to be ways that you can improve, but don't run after that because God demands it. Run after it because in that growth, God is going to work in you and through you for His glory. And if you struggle to show yourself grace, here's the thing. Get around other parents with young kids. It is so good to see other parents struggle the way you do. One of my buddies, I went over to his house, we were smoking pipes and drinking some bourbon, and he had to be stern with his son to tell him to actually go to bed because he keeps trying to get out of bed. And it made me feel so much better because, like, I have to do that with my girls, and I feel bad, or I feel like a better parent or a better man of discipline or whatever would have his kids listen to him better. But it's like, no, this is just part of raising kids, man. And it made me be more gracious to myself and to my spouse as we realize nobody knows what they're doing. Community makes you feel seen, makes you feel normal, helps you realize you're not alone. And so that's a great step to take if you struggle with giving yourself and showing yourself grace. So parents of young kids, especially the moms out there, please, I beg you, elevate the role that you play in the life of your child and elevate the season that you're in and realize it is a time to savor, not something to expedite. I want to encourage you to embrace the spiritual formation that's happening all around you in the domestic monastery that you're in. And I just want to encourage you to extend yourself grace, that you don't have to be perfect, and that God's grace already covers not just the moral failure and imperfection in our life, but even the small ways that we think we ought to be better because the world says so, and the ways that we fall short, God's already got us in that. So that's it for now. Thanks so much for tuning in. As always, I'd love to hear from you. You can DM me on Instagram at jonathan.moynihan, or even better, you can contact me on the website, jonathanmoynihan.com. Hit the hit me up button and I'll get an email straight from you. But until then, parents, keep your head up. You're doing the best you can. Invite the Spirit in and let's see how God shapes us and forms us as we go. And until next time, be well, be in good health, and I'll talk to you guys soon.